Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
But would you do me a favor and grab your copy of God's Word and turn to me to the book of Genesis? We're going to be in Genesis chapter 42, verses 33 through 36. Genesis chapter 42, verses 33 through 36. If you got to say yeah, yeah. If you don't, say hold up. All right, we're going to wait for you, boo-boo. If you don't know what Genesis is, you might not be saved. Just going to let you know. Genesis chapter 42, verses 33 through 36. And it reads, "The man who was lord of the country said this to us. This is how I will know that you are being honest and not spies. Leave one brother here with me. Take food to relieve your hunger of your households and go. Bring back to me your youngest brother, and I will know that you are not spies, but honest men. I will then give your brother back to you, and you can trade in this country." As they began emptying their sacks, there in each man's sack was his bag of money. When they and their father saw the bags of money, they were afraid. Their father Jacob said to them, "You have deprived me of my sons. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and now you seek to take Benjamin away from me. All these things are against me." And this morning, if there is a topic that I would like to talk about, it would hone in on that verse right there, and that would be, "All these things are against me." This is the word of the Lord, and before considering it, we should pray. So let's pray really quick. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your kindness. And Father, in this moment, we ask that your Holy Spirit would move. Lord, that I would hide behind the cross and that it wouldn't be my words, but Lord, it would be your words. God, speak to your people. Encourage your people this morning like we talked about in worship. That we would take off our own blinders and that we would take down our own walls and that you would show up in our lives and be big in our lives and be evident in our lives. So, Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we ask that you speak. We ask that you move. We ask that you breathe on this service. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, we might be looking at this text saying, "Man, Jacob, why are you stressed out? Or why do you feel like all these things are against you?" But I think it's important for us to have a little context to what Jacob is saying right now. Because Jacob is an older man, and he's faced many trials in his life. And if we are to rewind the story back, we would see Jacob in the womb with his brother. The Bible says that he was in the womb with his brother, wrestling with his brother in the womb. From the beginning, Jacob is a fighter. From the beginning, Jacob has been wrestling in his life. If we are to fast forward the story, we would see Jacob as a handsome young man, a good looking young man. And he sees a fine young thing. And he goes to this girl and he wants to pursue this young lady. But before he does that, he goes to her father. And he says, "Listen, man, I would like to pursue your daughter." And the man says, "All right, cool. You can pursue her. But what I want you to do first is that I want you to work for me for 7 years. So Jacob says, "All right, cool. I'm going to work for you for 7 years. Jacob works for this man for 7 years, and then the wedding day comes, and when the wedding day comes, he unveils this girl, but it's not the girl that he wanted. So he goes back to the father and he says, "Listen, man, this ain't the girl." And he says, yeah, I know, my bad, man, but listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to work for me for 7 more years, and then I'll give you the love of your life." I don't know about y'all, but I would have been like, "Homeboy, you tripping. I'm good. There's plenty more fish in the sea." That's the NIV version, the Negro International version. You good, bro. But instead, Jacob works for her for 7 more years. 14 years go by, and Jacob finally gets the love of his life. He finally gets the girl of his dreams. He finally gets the family that he wanted. But then she dies.
And what do you do when God allows things to die in your life? What do you do when you're faced with a situation that you don't understand? Not only that, but his daughter gets raped. His sons bring down an entire nation with their wicked demeanor. A famine hits the land. Life savings gone, crops gone. And now he sends all of his boys down to Egypt to get food for the family. And when his boys go down to Egypt to get food for the family, what they don't recognize is that the brother that they sold into slavery is now king over everything, over all the food in the land. So they go up to the man in charge and they say, hey, we're trying to bring food back to our country. And they go up to this man and Joseph recognizes them, but they don't recognize Joseph. And Joseph begins to be filled with anger and he's very emotional at this time. And he wants to see, is his brothers the same people that they were years ago? And so he says, I think they're spies. I think they're spies. I don't want to give them any food. I don't want to give them anything. And they say, no, sir, we're not spies. We promise them. They begin to explain this whole story. And as they explain the story, he says, all right, here's the plan. I want you to take this little food, because in the back of his mind, he knows that his dad is at home, probably hungry. I want you to take this food, relieve the hunger of your family. But I want you to leave one brother here with me, and this younger brother that you say you have, I want you to bring him back over here to prove to me that you're not spies and you're not lying. Then I'll give you more food, and then you can trade in this country. So they go, and they tell their dad, and this point, their dad is overwhelmed. He's an older man, and he's faced so many things in his life, and he just breaks down, and he says, Joseph is not, Simeon is not. And now they seek to take Benjamin away from me. All these things are against me. All these things are against me. And I wonder here today if there's anybody or any people that might feel like all these things are against me. My marriage might be against me. The divorce might be against me. My bank account might be against me. The boss that's on the job might be against me. And I don't quite understand the situation that I'm in. All these things are against me. The kids that I've been praying for to come back to the Lord, it's not happening. And it seems as though God has forgotten about me. The thing that I've been praying for isn't happening. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen. All these things are against me. But the Bible says, I'm not talking about how you feel. I'm not talking about what it looks like. The Bible says that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. Every abuse, every misuse, every evil thing. The Bible says that God has a way of turning that thing around and saying all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. That's why Galatians 6:9 says, don't get weary in well doing, because in due season you'll reap a harvest. My friend, do not quit in the middle passage. Don't quit and stop praying. Don't quit and stop worshiping. Don't quit and stop praising God. Because as you begin to praise God, as you begin to magnify God, you see your God get bigger and your problems get smaller. You see your God be able to take control over all things. Is this not the same God that was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Is this not the same God that was with Noah in the flood? Is this not the same God that was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And let's just talk about this situation for a minute. It would have been cool if God would have went ahead of them and thrown water on the fire and delivered them from the fiery furnace. But instead, God didn't go before them. He came after them. Could it be that God's not trying to deliver you from your stress and your mess? Could it be that God's trying to jump in the fire with you so that when you get out, you can say, baby, if it had not been for the grace of God that was on my side, I don't know where I would be. So do not quit. Don't quit in the middle passage, because what Jacob did not know is that Joseph was not dead. Simeon was coming home and Benjamin was coming back. But if he would have gave up and died in the middle passage, he would have never seen the promises of God. He would have never seen the fruit of God. He would have never seen God do a miracle, because what was once dead is now is alive, and what was one thing that was in prison is now unlocked. So I only got 2 points for you here today, and I'm done. And my number one point is this, is trust God in the process. Because all God's promises are yes and amen. Trust God in the process. Because all God's promises are yes and amen. Now, I'm going to give you a perfect example, because I think some people kind of need to understand this, because the process of life that God takes us through is normally God showing us how to trust him. Trust him in the middle of the process and everything that we go through. But 9 times out of 10, when God is showing us how to trust him, he always asks for something from us. If you don't mind, if I can just get somebody to help me out really quick, I just need an example. Anybody can come on stage with me. Really perfect. Come on, brother. Do me a favor. I want you to grab this. We got 2 different things right here. Grab this for me, and I want you to stand over there. Oh yeah, man, you're good. Take your time.
Maybe I was a bad one. Oh, I'll be fine.
You're good. Here we go. You're just gonna stand over there. See, that's an iPhone 10X, whatever. Don't judge me. I don't know. We're going to be using iPhones in heaven. I just want to let you know. That's the brand that we're going to be using. Jesus is going to have a... It don't matter. Anyway, that's one of the latest phones. And what I have here is just a regular phone. Y'all remember this phone? You used to call your homegirl on this phone. Girl, what you doing? You know, you had the string that was attached to it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Anyway, this is a regular phone. But what this kind of represents is the thing that God has entrusted to me for a season of life. Or maybe something that's just dear to me. And what God typically does in this process of life of trusting him is asking for something that is dear to me, something that is not as good as what God has. You can put that behind your back if you want to, because what God does typically is that he says, all right, this is what I want you to do in this process, in this trust process, is that I want you to trust me with everything, even the one precious thing that you hold on to. And so what God does is that he reaches out his hand for the one thing, hoping that you would give it to him. Because what you have to understand is that what I hold in my hand is not better than what God has behind his back. But he can't show us what he has behind his back until I let go what's in my hand. So when God is holding something behind his back, he's reaching his hand out saying, listen, I need that one thing, and I need you to trust me fully with what it is. And we sit here and we say, but God, listen, This is pretty cool. This is pretty awesome. And it was good for one season. And I know you're calling me deeper, but I don't quite understand. But God is calling us to something deeper and something better. And he's trying to tell us, listen, knucklehead, I understand that what you have in your hand is good, but I'm trying to give you better and I'm trying to give you what's best. But you got to trust me fully with what you got. And so we sit here with this in our hand. And for some of us, it might be something even more serious. It's not even something that's dear, but God is telling us to tell our spouse maybe some secrets that we've hidden in the past. And he's saying, listen, on the other side of this, I have a healthy marriage, but you keep hiding stuff. But God, it happened years ago. You sure? Yeah. Because I'm working something out that you can't even see. And what happens is, for many of us, we hold on to this and we miss out on what God has behind his back because we won't let go what's in our hand. And for some of us seasoned saints, it's not hard for us to give God. You can reach that hand. It's not hard for us to give God what is his and what he's asking for some of us, because we know all God's promises are yes and amen. We know what God can do. But for some of us, for some of us that's been in the game for some time, it's the waiting process that's hard for us, because sometimes the test has nothing to do with giving God something. Sometimes the test is the waiting and what you do in the waiting. Because for some of us, we'll get on our phones and we'll disqualify ourselves from the blessing that God has because we want to yap our mouths. Girl, God still ain't did nothing yet. My light's still off. My husband's still doing what he doing. Instead, you should give God what he gave you and wait patiently, saying, God, I'm at your service. Whatever you would like me to do, God, I'm here. Even if I gave it to you and the blessing wasn't even for me, but it was for my grandkids 2 generations down, I don't care, because I was being faithful and obedient to you. It's the waiting process for many of us. And I didn't get to finish the reading the whole text, But if you see the text, you understand that Jacob at first, when his sons came back, he told his sons that he's not sending Benjamin back to Egypt. He said, no, because I've been through too much. And I'm tired of giving God stuff and it feeling like he's failed me. How can stuff keep dying? And how can people keep letting me down? And I'm trusting in God. And here I see somebody that don't even believe in God and they getting blessed. What is going on? And because I'm in this moment of fear, we miss out on the blessing. But if we look at something, only thing that Jacob did was have a change of mind. And whether you're repenting or whether you're being obedient, baby, all you got to do is have a change of mind. All you got to do is change your mind around. And Jacob said, you know what? Go ahead. But I'm going to let you know if it doesn't happen. If it doesn't happen, then I'm just going to have to die because there's nothing else that I have left, Lord. But he says, go ahead. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust in something bigger than myself and I'm going to let you have it. And because he trusted in something that was bigger than himself, he got to see the promises of God that he would have never seen if he never would have gave up what was in his hand. Because when his sons came back, they came back with a son that he thought was dead. They came back with the son that he thought was imprisonment. And he came back with what he gave him in his hand. My God. So when we sit here and we look at this, it looks as though and it seems as though when you give something to God and when you're obedient, what God can do is that he can unlock doors that wasn't open and he can open up doors that wasn't open. And he can also revive things that were dead. And he can also give you back what you gave back to him if you just trust him. If you trust them and give them what you're supposed to do. Proverbs 6:5-6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. I know you think there's one way. I know you think it's best. But God's saying is acknowledge me in everything that you do. And I promise you, I won't let you down. I promise you, I'm going to be right there. You good, buddy. Thank you so much. My number two point and my last point, and that's it, and the band can come up, is this. Remember, he has not forgotten about you. Remember that he has not forgotten about you. David said, I've been young and I've been old, yet never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I love that scripture because David said, I've been 12 and I've been 16. I've been 47 and I've been 52. I've been a middle-aged man and I've been an old man. Yet never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. When I was 12, he was faithful. When I was 17, he was faithful. When I was 53, he was faithful. When I was 75, he was faithful. And if I keep trusting and walking with him, I promise you that he won't let you down. I've been young and I've been old, yet never have I seen the righteous forsaken. That if you trust in me, I promise you, I'll take care of my kids. I don't always give you what you want because there's a process that I have to take you through in order for you to grow. And if I don't take you through the process, you will not grow. It's like a father who gives his kids everything, and when they go out into the real world, they don't function properly because everything was given to me. I just seen a video on Instagram. It was of Brian McKnight. I know y'all saints, y'all don't listen to that, so. But Brian McKnight, he's an older gentleman now. He made a lot of money in the R&B world, and he put a video on Instagram, and because there was a lot of people that were slandering him of the things that he did. And only thing that he did was he basically took all the resources that he had from his kids. Now, put in your mind that his kids are grown. His kids are 28, 29, 30. But they were still eating on their father's table because they hadn't learned. And they hadn't went through the process of going out there and working and doing what they were supposed to do. So they get upset and they get mad. And just like many of us, we get upset and we get mad when we go through the process of life. But what God is trying to do is grow you. Because if I can grow you, I can take you to the next level. And not even just the next level at your job or whatever. I can take you to the next level in me. And I can show you things and I can speak to you clearer. And there's different things that I'm trying to show you if you would just let me take you through the process. So, Ryan, how do I go through all these things and know that God is still for me. One, you got to trust the process and know that all his promises are yes and amen. And number two, you got to remember that he has not forgotten about you. He has not forgotten about you. He knows where you are. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in your house. He was with you in the car when you was driving with tears running down your eyes saying, God, I don't know what I'm going to do if you don't hook a brother up. And I promise you, if you do not quit, God's going to get some glory out of your story. But you can't quit and you can't give up, because there's always, always, always a process to the palace. And there's always a process to the promise. Jesus himself wanted to quit. Homeboy got down on his knees and said, God, look, I know what's about to happen. Is there any way you can hook a brother up and all this be gone? But nevertheless, not my will, your will. And I wonder how many Christians have that attitude of, God, not my will, your will. Not my job, your job. Not what I want to do, what you want to do. God, I want to cuss my husband out, but not what I want to do, what you want to do. I'm going to serve. God, I want to cuss my wife out. She's getting on my nerve. God, but not me. You, these kids, they're getting on my nerve. If it was me, God, if it was my will, I'd smack them upside the head. But God, your will? Not my will, but your will be done. And then he goes to the cross and he says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? How many people, how many of us have felt like God has forgotten about us in the middle of the process? There's this thing that they say in the marketing world, and they've been saying it even before then, is out of sight, out of mind. If you're not in front of people's faces, or if you're not marketing, or if you're not doing whatever, then you're probably not on their mind. Now, how many of us, whether we haven't been in the presence of God, or maybe for some of us that's been in this for a long time, we've been in the presence of God, but we feel like we're out of sight, out of mind. But I want to remind you that even though you might be out of the sight of people, you're always on God's mind. And if you're always on God's mind, that means there's still blessing. That means there's still healing. That means there's still grace that can be applied to your account. And Jesus, he sits on the cross, says, listen, God, I feel like you've forgotten about me. And then he dies. How many of our dreams have died? How many of our family members have died? How many of our hopes have died? And then he died. But it's something about that man, Jesus. It's something about that man, Jesus, that even though he was in the grave for 3 days, it's something about the power of God that on the third day, he arose with all power in his hands. And on the third day, he smacked the devil and took the sting out of death and arose with all power in his hands. That's why the Bible says, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? Let me tell you something. Death's victory was pinned on the cross about 2,000 years ago when my Savior Jesus Christ died for me and you. And when he died for me and you, his blood shed for me and you from head to toe, so that when God looks at you, he don't see you, boo, he sees Jesus. So he's always eternally pleased with you. My friend, in the process of life, don't quit. Because if our Savior made it through, you can make it through. Because did we not say, the God that goes before us, does our God not go before us? And if he goes before us, baby, who can be against us? Whether it's cancer, whether it's your mama-in-law, I don't know what it might be, but whatever it is, if God go before us, who can be against us? If God walks beside us, and he doesn't even walk beside us, he says, I'm fighting. And if we look at Matthew, he says, I'm interceding on your behalf. You have an interceder that wants to protect you, keep you, and encourage you through his word not to quit. Because all of his promises are yes and amen. But all you got to do is remember that he hasn't forgotten about you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindness. And in this moment, God, build faith. Build faith, Father. Let our faith arise in you. Not in our own economic status, not in our own whatever it might be, but God, let our faith arise in you. That we trust in you, that we know you, that we encounter you in your presence. And God, through that, through the process of life,
Let us remember who you are. Let us trust in you. Let us walk with you. And God, show us that you go before us. And God, you slay our Goliath. And we can just sit back and watch. All we got to do is trust in you fully and give you what's in our hand. Because whatever you have behind your back is better than what we have. So, Father, we thank you. We love you. We pray that you continue to use us, convict us for something that's greater than ourselves. Father, we are your servants and we're waiting on you patiently. Whenever you want to use us, whenever you want to bless us, God, we'll be here waiting. So, Father, use us, bless us, encourage us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.